शांति शांति शांति। ओम समस्त जन कल्याणे निरतम करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयम् देवम् सद्गुरुम् ब्रह्मविद्वरम् सद्गुरुम् ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवता नारायणेन स्वयम् व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी। लास्ट् वर्स् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री गणेशाय नमः ॐ श्री सरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम। सो वी आर ऑन दी सेकेंड चैप्टर ऑफ द भगवद गीता श्लोका नंबर 18। सो हियर द टीचर इज टेलिंग अस दैट आवर ट्रू नेचर इज दैट इमॉर्टल सेल्फ बिकॉज द स्टूडेंट इज कंफ्यूज्ड व्हाट इज हिज ड्यूटी एंड As we know, this was the battle of the Mahabharata war, which was the battle between good and evil. And Arjuna, the student, is on the side of the good. And then the Lord Shri Krishna is his teacher who becomes his charioteer and drives his chariot. And when Arjuna is confused about his duty of should he fight the war or not, then Bhagwan Shri Krishna, the teacher, tells him that it is your duty because right now you are on the side of the good and the evil people are ruling the country and ruining. And so you are on the side of dharma, righteousness, against the evil, against, and it is your duty if you have the ability to remove evil by whatever means possible. And then the student says, well, so many people will die in the war. And the teacher starts with the highest knowledge that actually none of us die because we are all immortal. We are all that soul. Satish bhai, can I have my pointer, the black one from? We are all that immortal soul, which is indicated by Om. It's on the BMI chart. You can see Om on top. And below that is the body, mind, intellect. You probably remember this chart. That is me with the body. I perceive in the top one only. With the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel emotions. With the intellect, I think the thoughts. And V represents vasanas or my desires, and Om is God's presence within us. So all of us have that immortal presence of divinity called God or Father in heaven, consciousness, whatever you want to call that. And it is our duty to detach from the world of objects, it's okay, and focus attention on Om, on God's presence within us. And the teacher tells the student that your true nature is immortal. So even though the body perishes, it is the nature of the body to perish. And you and I and all of these warriors are immortal. We were never born and we will never perish. And so he starts from the highest knowledge. And then slowly he will come down in the subsequent verses to where we are right now. And what is that? That in life I have problems. I have ups and downs, joy and sorrow, success and failure. So physically there will always be problems. Mentally there will be problems. Intellectually there will be problems. But a wise person bears them without complaint. In life there will be problems. Either you can complain and cry, or you can cheerfully live your life and expect that life will give us joys and sorrows. So only when you remain balanced in this world of objects, emotions, and thoughts, we have to balance our thinking. Only by remaining balanced, we can go towards the highest truth. If in life, if some happiness comes, I get happy, and then joy comes, I get depressed, up and down, then I become a victim of the world. And so cheerfully bear them, and from the world of objects, evolve to the highest state of enlightenment, which is Om. So the teacher is giving us the path, how to go from the lower to the higher. And today's verses are a continuation of what we taught last time, what we discussed. So chapter 2, shloka number 18. Can chant after me. Antavanta ime dehaha.
Antavanta ime dehaha.
Nityasyokta sharirinaha. Anashino prameyasya.
Anashino prameyasya.
Tasmad yudhyasva bharata.
Tasmad yudhyasva bharata.
Together. Antavanta ime dehaha. Nityasyokta sharirinaha. Anashino prameyasya tasmad yudhyasva bharata. So the teacher is telling that antavanta ime dehaha, these bodies, all of the bodies that we see here and all over the world, they are all antavanta deha. Deha means bodies. These bodies, antavanta means they are bound to perish. Whatever is created is bound to perish, whether it's trees, animals, birds, plants, humans. But who is that? The eternal presence within each one of us is called Nitya, eternal. Ukta means said by who? By the wise people. And that is called the embodied soul, the sharirina, the consciousness, life principle, Om, that is within, that is eternal. Bodies perish, but there is something within us which is eternal. And what is it? It is anashina. It is indestructible. Aprameya. It cannot be known. Therefore, O Bharata, O son of India, O Arjuna, fight. Fight here means do your duty. So, let us see, you can follow the topics on the board. First is, as we said, the body perishes. And what is eternal? Eternal is called shariri. Sharira is this body. Sharira, sharira means that which is always perishing. This body is continuously going towards its grave. And on that is what happens to all of us. But there is an occupant or the owner of the life principle that is called shariri, which owns this body, which occupies this body. And that in the scriptures, they say it is me, I as the immortal presence. I am as this body, mind, intellect, I will perish. But as the immortal presence, I will not perish. So again, we should not think of God as being somewhere else, or the consciousness. Consciousness within me is my true nature. So God and I are not far away. We are not separate. He's not sitting somewhere in heaven or, you know, and then from there watching and, you know, taking care of the world. He is within every one of us. So that is, so to experience the oneness between me and this immortal presence, which we call God, is the goal of spirituality. That's why even Christ says, the Father in heaven and I are one. When he says that, what he means is the Father who is in heaven, who is running the world, is also in me as life, as consciousness. So, and then it is says, it is nitya, it is eternal, it never perishes. God always was, is, and always will be. That's why they say God alone was, and then he created this world. And even when the world ends at the time of dissolution, what we call pralaya in our scriptures, God will continue to live. And the world, this is not the first creation. It has happened many times because it is timeless. Before time, the creation started. Then at the time of the, what the, in the Bible they call the deluge, when the whole world will end, merge with the totality, and then again will be recreated. So this creation is a continuous cycle, creation, dissolution, create. So that eternal presence is called God, which is called consciousness, which is called Atma or the self. And it is immortal and it is aprameya. Aprameya means it cannot be known. It is unknowable. So they say, if it's unknowable, then why are we listening to the scriptures? But what they mean is it cannot be known by the senses. With the eyes, I cannot see God. With the ears, I cannot hear him. With the mind and intellect, even to contemplate upon it is very hard. Only way you can know it as me, as I, my oneness with that totality, that is called knowing God. And when we know something, it is called prama, which is the knowledge. There are four things happen. One is the knower, which is called pramata. Then pramanam is the instrument. Prameya is what is to be known. And prama is the knowledge. See, I have never seen a kangaroo. You know, I have never seen a live kangaroo. I saw some pictures. But then I go to Australia. So there, they take me to this kangaroo farm. There are a lot of kangaroos jumping around. So I become the knower. Oh, this is what kangaroo looks like, you know, when it is, how it is active and all. So I become the pramata, the knower, and the instrument to know the kangaroo is my eyes and my mind, because I had seen a picture before. So those are the instruments. And what is known? Prameya, the kangaroo is known. So once I see the kangaroo, oh, this is kangaroo, then the knowledge is prama. So in the world, we use our senses to see, hear, smell, taste, touch. But true knowledge is when you experience it and see it. What I had seen a picture when I saw the kangaroo. But the scriptures tell us that God cannot be seen as an object. You cannot see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, or touch it. God, you have to experience as me, as I, the oneness between me and God, because God is not far away, is my true nature. And that is the message of this, that through the scriptures, you understand who is God, where is God, how to know God, and how to reach God. That is called bodha, that is called true knowledge. And then the teacher tells the student to fight. So it's not that the Hindu scriptures encourage violence. What it is what he means is do your duty. Because in this world, we are all the time, you know, facing challenges, difficulties in life. You know, everybody's life has some challenge or the other, some difficulty or the other. But I have to do my duty and face whatever problems come, whatever conflicts come. So in doing my duty, I may have to do things which are difficult, you know. So for the student here, he was a warrior in the battlefield. So his instrument was his bow and arrow. For a doctor, his instrument would be his stethoscope. For a surgeon, it would be his knife. And that is his duty. For a computer programmer, it would be his computer. For an architect, would be his slide rule. So whatever instruments I have, use them and do your duty, whatever God has assigned you, wherever you are in life. For a housewife who is cooking, it would be her ladle, would be her, you know. So all the equipments that we have and all our abilities are to work as a service of God. All my activities should be done as God's service and to serve the world, make it a better place. No matter what I am doing, even if I'm vacuuming the floor, I am cleaning because God lives in this house. So I'm doing his work. And all my activities become prayer, become service. And then what happens? Then our mind becomes purified. Purified means it gets all pure qualities like love, compassion, sharing, kindness, unselfishness. And with that pure mind, when I sit, then I can meditate upon that truth. If my mind is full of anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, then I won't be able to serve the world and won't be able to reach God. So by purifying our mind, we are able to reach that eternal truth. So that is shloka number 18. We'll go to shloka number 19, where these ideas are continued. Ya enam veti hantaram. Yaschainam manyate hatam.
Yaschainam manyate hatam.
Ubhau tau na vijanitaha. Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Nayam hanti na hanyate.
Ya enam veti hantaram. Yaschainam manyate hatam. Ubhau tau na vijanitaha. Nayam hanti na hanyate. So yaha means whoever that person is. So you and I is referred as yaha, that person. The teacher is saying whoever knows, enam veti, knows this, the self, the consciousness, which is within all of us. And we think that it is God or the consciousness that is killing. Because here again, killing is not that... The scriptures talk about killing. This is situational because the student is in a battlefield. So here killing is for that student, but for you and me, it is doing our duty. So one who thinks it is the killer or yahacha and yahacha enam manyate hatam. Or if we think that this consciousness will perish. So our consciousness will never perish. The body will perish. The world will perish. But the life principle, which is one. There is only one consciousness. There is only one God who is given different names. You can call him Allah. You can call him Krishna. You can call him Father in heaven. You can call him Lord Shiva, you know, Saraswati. So these are all names, but there is only one God. So we don't worship multiple gods, but we worship that one God who expresses as various, just as one lady can play various roles. She is the mother at her home. She is the daughter of her parents. She is the wife of her husband. When she goes to work, she is a manager. And then after work, she goes to play tennis. She is a tennis player. Then she goes to the club. So all the roles that she plays, she's only one, but playing multiple roles depending on the situation. So we say God is one. He plays multiple roles as the creator, sustainer, destroyer of this universe. So this one consciousness never perishes. And one who thinks that by I am perishing, then he does not know, because he thinks I am this body. So the scriptures tell us, you are this consciousness occupying this body. You are that Om, the eternal presence, enlivening this body, occupying this body. And so that never perishes and is never killed, and neither does it kill. What do we mean by it does not kill? So we'll talk about it. So it is said that as the body, I am the karta and the bhokta. Karta means the doer, bhokta means the enjoyer or experiencer. So as a body, I experience things and I do things. I, you know, get up in the morning, brush my teeth, eat breakfast. And then if the breakfast is nice, I enjoy it. If the toast got burnt or the coffee is cold, then I suffer it. So in life, I get joys and sorrows. Good and bad things happen. And I am the, as the body, mind, and intellect, or if somebody shouts at me or criticizes me, I get depressed. But if somebody praises me, I get happy. So at the body level, I have changes, joy and sorrow, heat and cold, success and failure. Heat and cold at the body, joy and sorrow at the mind level, success and failure at the intellect level. But as the Atma, as the Self, I do not go through life's experiences. I just illumine. So what do they mean by God illumines? What their beautiful example is of a Natak Deepa. There is a famous text called Panchadashi where the teacher talks about the lamp in the theater. So, you know, say if the, suppose there is a now a famous play going to be performed on the stage, and there is one big light on top which is shining, illumining the stage. Now, there are no audience, there are no actors, the hall is empty, but the light continues to illumine the stage and part of the seats. And the light is there whether there is anybody or not. And then slowly people trickle in, the audience comes, and there is a king who is the organizing, who is the sponsor, so he comes. So when the king arrives and all the audience arrives, then the actors who are on the side come on the stage. So the light continues to illumine the stage, whether there are any actors on it or not. And then the actors perform the play. Say it is a happy play, a comedy, and everybody laughs. Or it is a tragedy, everybody's crying, very sad play. Or it is a violent play, where there is a lot of violence and killing. And all those activities are going on, and the audience is enjoying, suffering, you know, experiencing, but that light remains the same. The light does not change. The light does not become happy or unhappy. If there is a happy play or an unhappy play, the light continues to illumine the stage. And even when the play ended and everybody left, the light still remains. The light continues to illumine the stage, even when the whole hall is empty, the artists are gone, the audience. So similarly, our light, life, this consciousness within is not a light as a shining light, but it is the enlivening presence, which illumines all of us. Everything that we do is because of God's presence within us. And in my life, I will go through comedy and tragedy, happy, unhappy, problems, difficulties. But that light of consciousness, which is not light, but the enervating principle, remains unchanged. So this is a very beautiful example how that one light illumines all experiences, but remains unaffected. So that's what the Lord says, that that remains unaffected. But the body will continue to experience. See, as long as I am in this body, I will have heat and cold, joy and sorrow. Why do I suffer? Because I identify with this body. I think I am this body and my body. So, but if I say my body means I am not the body. Like if I say my car, I am not the car. My house, if I say I am not the house, So when I say my body, I am not the body, I am the owner of the body. And that's a very important point. Anything happens to the body, I say it's happening to me. That is called tadatmya. That is called wrong identification. If something happens to the body, you say it is happening to my body. Yes, I'm having some pain, some illness. I go to the doctor, take care of it, but do not get upset or too much depressed or sorrowful when problems arise. So I say my body is hurting. Then my mind is upset. I'm so mad. But I don't say my mind is upset. You say, I am upset. I am so mad at that person because he said this or she did this. So again, you don't say, I am upset. You say, my mind is upset. Yes, and I take care of the problem. So intellectually, my understanding, I don't understand. No, my brain doesn't understand. My intellect doesn't understand. So I either I identify with the body, mind, intellect, and I suffer, or if I identify with the consciousness, then I can detach and face life's issues. We are not saying don't face life's issues, but understand that they are not happening to me, they are happening to my body. And whatever is needed, I take care of it. It's not that I don't take care of it, but I have the right knowledge. And with right knowledge comes right action. But those who have wrong knowledge will do the wrong actions. You know, will do the right knowledge takes us to truth. The wrong knowledge takes us to untruth or falsehood. Wrong thinking, wrong ideas. Talking about falsehood, there was this family, father, mother, and a teenage son. And father brought a computer, a robot. He said, why did you buy this? He said, it is a lie detecting robot. That means if anybody tells a lie, the robot will go and slap that person. It's a lie detecting robot. So they say, what do they mean? So it was Saturday morning and the robot he brings. And the son had spent the night asleep over at a friend's house. So he comes home Saturday morning. So the father asks him, so what did you do last night? He said, Dad, we were studying, my friend and I, because we have finals. So we were studying all night, you know. And the robot gives him a slap, goes and slaps him. So he said, were you studying? No, sorry, Dad. We were watching, we were playing video games and watching movies. We didn't study. Father said, see, you got caught. But when I was your age, we never lied to our parents like that. We always told them the truth. And robot slaps, goes and slaps him. So he says, yeah, well, yeah, I know. Once in a while, we lied. And then the mother starts laughing. She says, see, ha, ha, ha. After all, he's your son. That's why you are alive. The robot goes and slaps her too. He says, he's your son. So when we do wrong actions, wrong results come out. So that is what they say, that always remain in that true knowledge and then you will not suffer. So we'll go to shloka number 20. Now these shlokas are from the Upanishads. Upanishads are the highest knowledge, and the Kathopanishad is the one that from which many mantras have been taken in the Bhagavad Gita. So the last one and the next one, both are from the Kathopanishad with slight changes, because in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord Sri Krishna has picked portions of the Upanishads, which is the highest knowledge, and made it simple for us to understand. The Upanishads are at a higher level. So we'll do shloka number 20. The tune is a little different. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit.
Na jayate
mriyate
va kadachit.
Nayam bhutva bhavita va na bhuyah.
Nayam bhutva bhavita va na bhuyah.
Ajo nitya shashvato yam puranah.
Ajo nitya shashvato yam puranah.
न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे
न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे
टुगेदर न जायते म्रियते वा कदाचित् नायं भूत्वा भविता वा न भूयः अजो नित्यशाश्वतोऽयं पुराणः न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे सो अगेन एंड अगेन द टीचर इज टेलिंग अस अबाउट द नेचर ऑफ द सेल्फ द इटर्नल प्रेजेंस बिकॉज वी थिंक दैट आई एम डाइंग आई वॉज बॉर्न एंड आई एम डाइंग बट आवर ट्रू नेचर आवर सेल्फ और कॉन्शियसनेस न जायते इज नॉट बॉर्न एंड न म्रियते एंड इज नॉट dies, does not die. So when the body was born, the consciousness was always there. God's presence was always there, just manifests in the body. So as I, from the mother's womb, when I am born, then the body is born, but the consciousness is always there. Na jayate, it is not born. Na mriyate, and neither does it perish. So death happens to the body, but does not happen to me. That I have to understand. Va means or. Kadachit means not at all. There was never a time when anybody is born or anybody perishes as the consciousness. As the body, yes, everybody is born and everybody will die. But my life principle or consciousness is neither born nor dies. And na ayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuya. And na ayam bhutva, having come into being, there is a no a time when bhavita na bhuya. There is no a time when I won't be. So again, what it means is that even though I have appeared in this body temporarily for maybe whatever 70, 80, 90 years, but I as the consciousness always was, always is and always will be. That's why they say God was, is and will be. There was never a time when God was not there. In fact, they say time came where they say, when was God born? They say, no, God is beyond time. You cannot say at a particular day or time because then you are saying that time was there before God. No, God was there and time appeared in that total consciousness in this whole universe. So, I was there before time. Why? Because God and I are one. And this body, yeah, appeared a certain time, okay, 60, 70 years ago. And in another 10, 20 years, it will be gone. But that is the nature of the body, but I am not the body. And what is the nature of this consciousness? This God's principle, it is Aja. Aja means unborn. Nitya means eternal. Shashvata means changeless. And Purana means ancient. So we'll talk about each of these. Eternal, unborn, changeless, ancient. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire. Even when the body perishes, this consciousness does not perish. So as we said, it comes from the Upanishads. And why this particular birth and death is being given? Because in life, we go through six modifications, which are called Shad Vikaras. So jayate, no, asti, jayate, vardhate, parinamyate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. Asti means is. So I am in the mother's womb. Then jayate, then I am born, I take birth. Then what happens? Vardhate. Then I grow, become bigger, bigger, bigger. And, you know, grow physically, mentally, you know, in all ways I grow. Then vardhate. Then parinamyate. Then changes happen. What I used to believe as a child, I don't believe anymore. A girl used to love her toy, her little doll, and she would carry her everywhere. When she becomes a teenager, then that doll, she just leaves on one side of the house and takes her. Because she got a car now and she has friends. So So we change. Our thinking changes. Like, you know, people used to believe earth is flat. Now they know earth is round. So that is called parinamyate, changes. Then apakshyate, and slowly I deteriorate. As we grow older, we know that our body becomes weaker and the hair becomes white, and then my muscles don't work and I have to use a walker or a wheelchair. So that is called apakshyate and vinashyati. The sixth one is perishes. So the body goes through six changes: is born, grows, changes, deteriorates, and perishes. But the Atma, the consciousness, does not go through these shat vikaras, does not go through these changes. So the example they give is like, suppose a potter makes a pot out of mud and the pot falls and breaks. The pot perishes, but the mud doesn't. The mud is eternal in that example. And that pot breaks, and then you take that mud and you can make another pot, or you know, you get some more mud, but the mud remains. The mud doesn't, like in gold, you know, we have a necklace and a bracelet and anklet. Now the necklace can be melted and made into a bracelet, you know, goldsmiths do that, or melt the bracelet and make it into an anklet. But the gold remains unchanged even when the ornaments are different. So the necklace is different from the bracelet, is different from the anklet, but that gold is unchanging. It is one. So same way, one consciousness appears as all this. And what is the proof? The proof is the scriptures. Our scriptures tell us that is the pramana, that is the proof. So like this tablecloth, what color is it? It's blue. Right? How do we know it is blue? Oh, my eyes tell me it is blue. And I have heard before that this is a blue color. When I was a 5 or 6 year old going to school, my teacher told me this is blue, this is green. So what is the proof? It is my eyes and my mind that know. So similarly, what is the proof of that? The scriptures tell us that you are eternal. And this consciousness is a sakshi. Sakshi means witness. So just as that lamp in that theater is a witness and watches, whether there is a tragedy or a comedy or a violent play, the light remains unaffected. So same way, the light of consciousness that is within me, that is the life-giving principle, remains unaffected. And in my life, problems will come. So witness is the one, like in the court of law, who is a good witness who watched, or say he said, I watched that murder happening. I watched Mr. A shooting Mr. B, but he's not involved. He neither is a friend of Mr. A, nor is he a friend of Mr. B. Because if witness happens to be a friend or a relative, then he may not be a reliable witness. So remaining unaffected, remaining detached, is able to witness the event and then talks in the court of law. So similarly, this consciousness within me is the witness, the sakshi, which watches, and it is eternal. It is does not undergo changes. So eternal can be changing or can be changeless. So there is one eternal principle which is unchanging, another one continuously changing. So he says, give us an example. So if you think about a river, you know, river, at the bottom of the river, the stone is eternal and unchanging. It doesn't change. But suppose the river has been coming from time immemorial, you know, before long time. So every time the snow melts, the river is constantly flowing. So the river is eternal, but changing, right? The water is changing. Water is moving. Fresh water is coming. But the bed on which the river is running is eternal and changeless. So similarly, the life principle in us, Om or consciousness, is eternal and changeless, on which this body, mind, intellect is changing. Just as the water is changing upon the river, so same way, in me, this consciousness, my body, mind, intellect is changing, functioning, born, dies, change, all the changes happening. So all the six modifications are happening in that one consciousness. So this consciousness is Aja, it is unborn, it is Nitya, it is eternal, it is Shashwat, it is changeless. So that which is unborn, eternal, changeless principle, the teacher says, you are that. You are not this body. Don't identify. If you identify with this body, you will suffer. When the body is healthy, I'll be happy. When the body is unhealthy, I'll be miserable. No, the body will go through health and ill health. Accept that and take care of it. If you can't take care of it, bear it. Some illnesses you can't cure. Okay, just tolerate. Okay, I have it. Mind will go through joys and sorrows. Bear them, experience. The intellect will go through success, failure, all those things. So experience it, bear it without complaint. And then it says Purana. Purana means ancient. It is before time, as we said. God was there before time. Ancient, ever present. But interestingly, anything that we see in this world is old becomes, you know, old. But this life principle always remains young. That's why God is always shown as being young. Why? Because it does not get old. It does not, even though it is ancient, it is always young. That's why in our script, whenever we see pictures of God, they don't show him old person, you know, on a walking stick or on a walker or anything. Happy, young. So this life principle is eternal, ancient, but ever young. So ancient doesn't mean it becomes old. It is ever young. But then he says problems will come. Problems will come in my life. And, you know, as we said, joy and sorrow, success and failure. So understand that life is meant to give us changes. Life is, that's what they say now, change is the changeless law of nature. Anything that you see in the world is changing. It was 80 degrees 2 days ago and today it's 50 degrees and raining. You know, these people say crazy weather. You know, that is true. When the weather is changing, you don't know whether to wear a jacket or whether to wear shorts, you know, short sleeves and you know, shorts. So life will change, weather will change, situations will change. What person used to give me joy to in the past will give me sorrow today. This job I had, I was so happy, so successful. And then suddenly my boss changed. And now that job is making me miserable. I hate going to work because the boss is a dictator. He doesn't listen. You know, he doesn't take my advice, my suggestions, does what he wants. So that same job that I used to look forward to Mondays, now I don't. Why? Because I don't get the same joy anymore. I don't. So that's what they say, that in life, there will always be changes. So what you do, you accept them and you bear them without complaint. If you go every morning, oh, I have to go to this job. Why do I? Then your day will start off miserable. You say, yes, my job has changed, but I am the same. So why should I let my boss or the circumstances affect me? I can remain happy in all situations. Yes, if problems come, I deal with them, but without complaint. That is called titiksha, that bear life's pinpricks without complaint. Not that, oh, I have to go to work. Why do I? Then you will be miserable. You say, I'm going to work regardless of what is happening in my life. Regardless of what my boss does, I inside am happy and I do deal with the changes. So that is called how to deal with problems, called titiksha, means bearing life's misfortunes without complaint. If you're going to complain and bear it, then you will be miserable. Say, yeah, life is meant to be. So what the teacher is doing, he's pouring cold water on us, just as when somebody is sleeping and you pour cold water, he gets up. Ah, what happened? So same way, we are sleeping in the sleep of ignorance. And this knowledge is like that cold water, because Arjuna, the student, was very confused, was very unhappy. And the teacher, the Lord himself, Bhagavan Krishna, who comes as the teacher, is changing his thinking. See, you and I, we always think, I am this body and I'm suffering, I am hurting. No, you are not. You are this consciousness. The body may suffer, but and that is the very important message of these verses. And so he says, but then if I say I am not born, but when they say, oh, it is my birthday, you know, and people come and sing happy birthday to you, all that. And then they bring a birthday cake and they light up candles and they surprise me. And then I go there and I walk into the room and they say, surprise, you know, I didn't know that they were going to have a party for me. So I go there, but I have studied Vedanta. So you don't tell them, I was never born, I will never die, I am not. You know, they are celebrating a birthday, you celebrate with them, you enjoy, you cut the cake, you blow the candles, you eat a piece of cake, and you participate in it. You don't start giving them a lecture at that time that, you know, Vedanta says you were never born, I was never. Enjoy the birthday, but inside you know that Ajo Nitya Shashvato Yam Purana, I am unborn, I am eternal, I am changeless, I am ancient, but this at this moment I am functioning through this body, and whatever the body's birthday, you celebrate. But understand that actually body had no birth. So that is the essence of this shloka. So we have one more. So we'll do that, the last one. Number 21. Veda vinashinam nityam.
Nityam.
Katham sa purushav partha.
Katham sa purushav partha.
Kam ghatayati hantikam.
Kam ghatayati hantikam.
Together. Veda vinashinam nityam. Ya enam ajam avyayam. Katham sa purushav partha. Kam ghatayati hantikam. So Veda means, Veda has two different meanings. Veda, one can be our ancient text. That is a noun, you know, the Vedas are the scriptures. But here, Veda means one who knows. So it is a verb. So Veda can be used as a verb or can be used as a noun. So here means one who knows, avinashinam, imperishable. So this Atma, this consciousness is imperishable. It does not get destroyed and it is nityam. It is eternal. Always was, always is, always be, and never perishes. See, these ideas are very difficult for us to grasp because for so many years since our birth, we have been thinking, I am the body. And if we believe we have multiple births, rebirths, then ever since I was a protozoa, you know, they say first protozoa came, then became fish, then became animal, bird, and then human. So all these births I have gone through, multiple births, and even as a human, I may have had many births. I've always been thinking, I am the body, I am the body, I am the body. So suddenly now the teacher is telling us to think different. So that is the knowledge, and it is imperishable, it is eternal. And yaha enam, and this one, enam, this consciousness, is ajam. Ajam means unborn. Avyayam. Avyayam means no changes are happening. Changes happen in the body, the mind, the intellect, but in that consciousness, no changes. Also in the world, objects, emotions, thoughts change. Perceiver, feeler, thinker is this ego, I am. So all of these change and my desires, vasanas change, but my true nature is unchanging. And then such a person, how can he say that God is the one that caused the death or made me kill or do the wrong things? It neither does anything nor it is the prompter. And we'll talk about what do they mean by prompter and the doer, non-doer and non-prompter. Eternal, we have talked about. It is eternal, imperishable, and indestructible. No changes can happen. But what do we mean by it is the non-doer and the non-prompter? So the example they gave is there is gasoline in the car. You know, we put gas in the car. Now the gas is not the doer. The gas does not drive the car. The gas only gives the energy to the car. And then it is up to me, the driver, where I take the car. I can take it to a house of worship, you know, to a church or a temple, or I can take it to a bar and get drunk and then kill somebody, or I can take it and maybe rob a bank. So the same car I can use to go to a church or go to rob a bank. But the petrol has no role in that, right? Petrol doesn't say, oh, you should go to the church every Sunday. Petrol says, I give the energy. It's up to you where you want to take your car. Also, the petrol is not the prompter. The petrol doesn't get up in the morning and say, look, you know, it's Sunday morning. You need to go for the Gita class or you need to go to church and you don't shouldn't be. No, the petrol is neither the doer nor the prompter. And if I get into an accident after drunk, if I'm drunk and then I'm driving with a DUI, and then I hit somebody and God forbid, you know, I cause a lot of damage or destroy somebody's car or hurt somebody. The petrol is not at fault. You can't say to the judge, Your Honor, when I'm caught by the police, Your Honor, it was the petrol in the car that made me do that. He's not going to listen. Petrol will give you the ability to drive, the energy to drive. But where you take the car is your choice. So same way, God is the innervator, gives us the energy, gives us the life. What I do with this body and with my abilities, body, mind, and intellect, is up to me, just as the petrol cannot be blamed. So you cannot say, oh, if God was not there in me, I wouldn't have had the ability to walk and talk. No, I have the ability given by God, and I have the choice. And then I have to live with the consequences. See, if I use the car or use my body and say go to church, that will be good. If I use my body to go to the bar, get drunk, and then I drive, then I have to bear the consequences of both. So good or bad actions will give us good or bad results. That is the law of karma, you know, that if you do every good action will be rewarded, every wrong action will be punished. Even though a person may escape, you know, he may have a good lawyer, and even though he has done something wrong, he can be freed from the court, and court will say you are not guilty. But inside he knows, and ultimately the law of karma will catch up with him. If I have done good, you get it, good things happen. If I have done bad, bad things happen. And our scriptures say majority of the results come in this life itself. But if there are some, say person has done a lot of bad actions but does not suffer the consequences and dies, then those karmas get carried to a subsequent life. So that is the story of reincarnation, which the next week, that is the shloka which talks about birth and death, reincarnation. So this Lord, this consciousness neither does anything, nor is the prompter, nor is it telling me to do anything, just as petrol neither drives the car nor tells the driver where to go. So same way, the conscience within me may tell me, okay, what you're doing is right, what you're doing is wrong. But if I don't listen to my voice of conscience, and, you know, we, a lot of times, it tells, yeah, this is not good, I shouldn't do it. You know why? Because the scriptures say you don't do it. Or my parents told me, you know, this is right, you should do. This is wrong, you should not do. So the voice of conscience is what? The voice of God. It can be through the scriptures, through my parents, through my teachers. So this voice of conscience is always speaking to us. But if you keep ignoring it, shut up, it's okay. I'll just do what I want. Don't have to worry. Then slowly the voice will stop talking. You know, initially they will say, you know, this is not good, you shouldn't do it. But after a while, if you don't listen, then you get used to that. You say that becomes it. First time I sin is difficult. Second is less. Third, after I have sinned 10 times, then it becomes automatic. You know, it's not nothing. Then the voice of conscience as though dies, as though becomes silent. So that's what they say, that this life principle, this consciousness, God's presence is neither the doer nor the prompter, neither karta nor bhokta. Neither does it enjoy, nor does it suffer. All the consequences belong to this body. And as long as I follow what the scriptures say, what my parents have told me, what my teachers have told me, as long as I do the right thing, my life will be happy, all the good actions will result in good karmas. But if I ignore the teachings, then I will suffer. So today's four texts are taking us to the deeper meaning of who am I? You know, I used to think I am just this body, you know, and I am so many years old. I'm a male, female, young, old, short, tall, black, white. Those are all my conditionings. But my true nature is that consciousness. So that is what the essence of these four mantras is, that this life principle, it never perishes, is always there. This body is changing. And I, as the consciousness, I am eternal. I was never born. I will never die. But yes, this body has birth and this body will have death. So a person who is able to stay established in that truth, then no matter what happens, you know, no matter what happens, we find in the lives of these saints, they had so many problems, but they were not affected. They remained at peace, as Christ could even tell those who were crucifying him, that Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had no anger, no hatred towards anybody, because his mind was always with the Father in heaven, who is the within. So same way, these saints, and so you and I, that's what we learn from the lives of these saints and prophets, that life will give us problems, but I have to be one with that truth and remain always established in that wisdom. And then such a person then can only, that is the only way through to go through life's problems without complaint, without, is to remain established in the truth. So that is what this today's four mantra shlokas tell her, how to deal with life's ups and downs and remain unaffected. So we'll end here. It's almost 12 o'clock. So we have about 10 minutes extra we reserve for questions. So if anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free. You can unmute yourself on the Zoom. You can unmute, or those who are in person can also ask any questions, comments. So please feel free to do that. Yeah.
So you said that diksha is where you, like, if you can't take care of, like, your illness or sore, you just bear it without complaint, right?
Right.
Is there anything like that that's for other people? So especially people that you're responsible for, like even children. Like if you're watching maybe yourself, you're not in grief, but someone else who you're responsible for is in grief. Is there something that you can do, like, should you just help them, or, like, I don't know,
this is a prayer. Yeah, so her question is that in life you may be able to bear your own misfortunes and sorrows, titiksha, but how about if your child is suffering, or a near and dear ones, or a close one is suffering? You have to understand that first of all, if the child is suffering, I am suffering too. I am going through the similar emotions. You know, the child is going through problems. Say my teenage daughter had a problem with her, you know, with a friend or with a boyfriend, and then she's crying and all. So I also go through that. So that is number one. So I have to understand that I am going through problems along with my daughter or my child or my mother or my elderly parents or whatever. That's number one. Number two, I have to understand that changes will happen. So I bear it cheerfully without crying or complaining. You have sympathy and you feel inside that this child needs help. So you provide sympathy, but with the understanding that the child has to grow up on their own. See, the child has to go through life's difficulties to grow. And the child has to understand that in life, things will always not be the same. You know, somebody who was a friend, go close friend to her tomorrow might say, I hate you, you know. And the person becomes very unhappy. So you teach the child that, first of all, you express sympathy. Yes, I know you are going through a hard time. I hurt for you. I feel for you. But inside, you are not disturbed. You know that life will give. And then that's what you teach that person through your own example. That in life, everybody gets problems. You take care of the situation. And if you can fix the problem, fix it. If you cannot fix it, bear it without complaint. Without, not that you start giving a lecture. If she's crying, you that time she's not going to be ready to listen. So you hug her and talk to her and, you know, and say, I'm here for you if you need any help. I know you are going through a hard time. But then when she stops crying and becomes a little bit stable, then at that point you can use this knowledge and guide that person that, look, life will give you problems. You take care of them. And if you can't, just move on. Don't, suppose this person dumped you or this person, that's not the end of the world. So you teach them through your own example and through this wisdom, this knowledge of how to bear this situation. So verbally and by example. Example is more important. And you can even mention that, oh, I also had this when I was young. This happened to me, that happened. And these things happen, you know. So that's how. So that is, so you don't become cold and say, well, you know, life has problems. You have also problems. Just go. You can't do that. You at that time, first you have to be available, be sympathetic, understand the situation, and then guide them. So that is how you make that person also strong and you become strong also. So any other questions, comments, anybody on Zoom or anybody in the audience? Lata, are you able to unmute? You are able to unmute, right? I think Amit had muted everybody. Let me unmute. I don't know. Amit is not here. I don't know where he is.
Yeah. I can now unmute.
You can now mute. Okay,
thank
good.
You. Yeah, I don't have a question today, Anil. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. Anybody else? Any questions, comments? So, okay, we'll end today. And those who are here in the audience, we do have lunch afterwards, if you wish. We go into the main hall to do our prayers. And then at 12:30, we have lunch. You're welcome to join us for lunch. And otherwise, we'll see you next week, 10:20 for the meditation and 11 o'clock for the Bhagavad Gita. So we'll end here. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve Santu Niramayaha. Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Also, these talks will be also recorded on First Power, the same place, firstpower.info. First Power is one word, firstpower.info. These talks are recorded and placed on that website. So if you wish to listen to today's talk or previous talks on Bhagavad Gita, they are all there. So you can just go with your computer, and we'll see you next Sunday. Thank you. Hari Om.